Children, you can walk to your room. Walk, huh? Please don't. Okay. Well, it's always a joyous occasion. As a church, we can work together. Basically, for him to make announcements. So if you ask you, they come to Brother Maloney, can you? Or Brother Desmond, can you? Or whatever. So just be available for him, all right? And it will be a time. Of course, not just the brothers, but the sisters as well. Okay, I'm sure there will be many, many roles that they're trying to fit in who, all right? So it's a blessing for us. We've done it before, and it's always been a blessing to be able to see God's work in the lives of young couples as they grow, all right? Okay, today we are going to look at some principles for 2016, and I hope it's useful, and as a pastor, I've learned over the years that it's always good to encourage members to focus on Christ at the beginning, so that there will be some strong principles to take them through. Let's turn to Acts chapter 27 as we begin. Let's stand as we will be reading from verse 21 to 26. Acts chapter 27. Okay, those who are sitting on the right, please bear with us. The apparently the whole tube, the what do you call it, the starter is blown. Yeah. So, huh? I took it about, but the tube, it's not a tube, it's the starter. So every time, yeah, so it's the whole thing. So we need to change that. So please bear with us. It should be fixed by next week. Acts chapter 27, verse 21 to 26. Okay, it's a that will be our text for today. But we'll use Acts chapter 27 as the whole story. Okay. I read verse 21, you read verse 22, and so on until verse 26. Acts chapter 27, verse 21 reads, "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss.'" Verse 22. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve.
Saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all men to serve with thee.'
Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." Verse 26 together. "Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." It's a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we begin, Lord, our spiritual journey, I'm sure we've started already on watch night. But God, every day as we walk this spiritual journey with you, Lord, is our relationship and our life with you. And Lord, we want to prepare ourselves for 2016. Lord, I pray that these principles will be anchors in our lives as we face the blessings, as you're going to pour out to us, as we've seen in Brother Song Ling and Sister Agnes' life, a blessing of moving growth in their friendship and relationship. Father, for the rest of us, there could be certain things in our lives that you're going to bless us with, Lord, that we're just looking forward to. But Lord, for some of us, Lord, we do not know, but we do know that whatever situation that will transpire in our life, Father, you're already there. And so, Lord, today as we seek, Lord, wisdom and guidance from your word, I pray that you will teach us, that your Holy Spirit will be the teacher and will guide us into all truth. May our hearts, Lord, be firmly embedded on the rock as we walk this year. We thank you for what you're going to do. And may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Lord, may we be obedient to the word you will give us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In Acts chapter 27... if you will read the entire chapter, it is actually Paul's voyage to Rome. Okay? To Rome. He was going to see the Caesar. All right? He was captured. He was arrested. But yet, he says that he has been wrongly accused. And the Roman soldiers were going to whip him. And he says, "No, I'm a Roman citizen. I appeal to Caesar." It was a Roman right. No one is supposed to whip or imprison a Roman citizen. They had high privileges. Anyhow, all right? So the soldier actually had no choice because Paul says, "I appeal to Caesar." And so they are on the way to bring Paul to Julius Caesar, whereby he may not be Julius Caesar, but one of the Caesar Augustus, which was a Caesar at that time, to appeal his case. Okay? And so as he was going through there, they sailed by the coast of Asia and the ship hit a storm. I'm going to describe a little bit of the storm later on. In verse 9 and 10, if you follow along in Acts chapter 27, to begin the whole thing, in verse 1, and when it was determined that we should sail to Italy, the capital of Italy is Rome, okay? And they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius and the centurion of Augustus' band, okay? Now, you notice that he was delivered to a centurion. A centurion is a commander in charge of 100 soldiers, all right? So, as a centurion, he had 100 soldiers under him. He was supposed to bring Paul to Rome. In verse 3, notice God's grace. Notice God's grace. Verse 3, and the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius, which was a Roman centurion, courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. In other words, Paul was a captured prisoner, but the person in charge of the prisoner says, Paul, go ahead, you know, just go have time with your friends, and after a certain time you can come back. You know, one of the commentators mentioned how God was so gracious that even in Paul's imprisonment, he would send people to encourage him. Go ahead. You know, just be encouraged with your friends and then come back at the time appointed. So, from verse 4 to verse number 9, there was danger brewing, okay? So, rather, they were sailing. Basically, Luke, who was the author of Acts, talked about how they were going from this place to that place, and they were sailing towards Rome. Verse 9, now when the time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. In verse 9 and 10, Paul began to say, hey guys, I don't think you should go now. Paul, under the inspiration of God, told the commander of the ship, don't go now, it's very dangerous. Don't move forward, don't go there, don't go that direction, there's a dangerous point. But you know what, in verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship, more than those things which are spoken of by Paul. Now, when you have someone who you do not know actually tell you it's going to be dangerous, we need to maybe take heed. Okay, why? Because this person has no vested interest in whatever this is. Just saying, please don't go there, it's going to be dangerous, the weather is going to be bad, you may hit something. But they didn't listen. Hold that thought for a while. Counsel was given, it wasn't listened to, okay? Then in verse 11, of course, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship. And as you go along, let's go down to verse number 14. Not long after there arose in a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Euroclydon in the Greek has the idea of a hurricane. It was not just your normal storm, it's a hurricane, all right? It's a strong hurricane. And when the ship was caught, idea was it was caught in the midst of the hurricane and could not bear it up in the wind, so that the ship, as it was moving, the captain couldn't control it anymore. The idea is the ship was caught means it was caught by the hurricane and the ship couldn't get out of it. What happened? We let her drive. In other words, the sailor said, look guys, there's no way we can control this ship. The hurricane is too strong, and they just let the ship go. And verse 16, and running under a certain island which is called Claudia, in other words, when the hurricane was broken by the wind, as they were going closer to an island, a hurricane usually loses its strength. Okay? We had much work to come by the boat. There was much difficulty they were experiencing in trying to secure the ship that they have. In verse 17, when they had taken up the boat, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail, and so were Britain. The whole thing is about ship, sea going. The idea of the helps has to do with the anchors, the cables, the ropes, and they were using everything they could to secure the ship as much as they could. And verse 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, in other words, you know, have you been on the ship that you just kind of, not even the ship, nowadays a lot of people go by aeroplane, and when there's turbulence, and of course, fasten your seat belts, no smoking, get back to your seats, not sit down until we pass the turbulence. They had this big tempestuous movement in the ship, in verse 18. And then when they were exceeding tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. Basically, they threw off everything they have to lighten the ship. Have you seen that before? So when the ship is going to sink or there's difficulties, the people start throwing off cargo into the ship so they make it lighter, so it's easier for the ship to float. In verse 19, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. The word tackling has the idea of anchors or anything that's essential for their survival. Even the very thing that was, even the anchor was so heavy, they threw it down. All right? They got rid of everything that they needed even to survive. In verse 20, it's a very dismal verse. It says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared." We have to understand when it says sun or star, sometimes for us it's, oh, in other words, there's no light. It was in the darkness. Everything was dark. And what do sailors depend on for direction in the past, in the sea? The stars. In other words, they were lost. There was no direction. Everything was dark. They had no stars. There was no sun for many days. And no small tempest lay on us. In other words, there was huge tragedies. The storm was still on them. The Bible says in verse 20, all hope that we should be safe was then taken away. Now, that's quite dismal. What will you do, my believer friend, as a Christian, when distress hits you this year? What will you do when something that you expected hits you and where am I? No stars, no sun for many days, and all hope of being saved is lost. We can't see anything. There was one man, one lady, Mrs. Drotman. There was the news of her husband who was being swept by a cold wind on one of the lakes, I believe in England. And she found out that the husband drowned, you know. And then the eyewitnesses tell of the anxiety, the tears, and as the one of the ships went down, the husband also drowned. And everyone was shouting, "Hey, your husband is drowned," you know. And she was just, the persons were just looking at her. No, everyone was so anxious and so fearful at the drowning of this man, except one lady. Guess who? The wife. His name is Lila Trotman. He says, "Oh, Lila, he's gone. Dawson's gone." And everyone is shouting, "Oh, Dawson is gone." To that she replied in calm assurance the words of Psalm 115, verse 3. Just listen. "Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases." This widow, in the face of overwhelming distress, looks up to God and says, "God is still in charge. He will do what pleases Him for me." All the anguish and the sudden loneliness that normally consumes an individual, that could have crippled a person like that, vanished. Instead, she leaned hard on God, who had once again done what He is pleased. Now, when the situation is hopeless, in verse 21, for example, in this passage, in verse 21, you see, we start at verse 20, right? In verse 21, that's when Paul came in. And that's an important principle for any one of us who choose to be useful to God in 2016. A Christian with a message, a Christian who walks close to God, a Christian who knows that God is with him and he has that close relationship with God, always have an answer for the distress that what people are going through. Notice Paul abstained himself from speaking for a long time until all hope was gone, verse 21. Then Paul started speaking. A Christian with a message, when you are walking close to God, you will be a light to people in distress. You will be a help to those who are needy. And you will be absolutely encouraging to someone who cannot see any light ahead. Does that make sense? And Paul, in the darkness of the light, the darkness that there was all around him, I mean, he himself was involved. But you know what? He was at peace because God has really showed him something. That's why I say the Christian with a message will be able to be a blessing and a light to someone else. Okay? Now, it is always wonderful when we work hard and we are blessed. Amen? When you work hard and God blesses you. It is marvelous when we strive and we can see the blessing of God in our lives, but when we go through the storms and we can still stand it and we can still go through the storm, you know, it's interesting, when we go through the storm and we are still able to go through it and come out stronger, there's nothing but God. Some people say, "No, it's just my willpower." Your willpower can break. Men, did you know that men by their own spirit can achieve marvelous feats You know, I think it was this Ku Sui, something like that. Like he scaled the 7 highest peaks in the 7 continents, if I'm not wrong. Right? And he's tried different... men have sent people to the moon. Okay? In outer space. Singapore also is trying to send people to space. Right? Men, with their own spirit, men has conquered Mount Everest. Of course, many people died as well, but a lot more people have conquered Mount Everest. One of the highest, and it's very difficult to conquer a terrible terrain like that. But man, in his own spirit, do you realize in your own spirit you can do a lot of things? But when discouragement hits you in your heart, right here, you know, when your heart is strong, you can overcome anything, but when discouragement hits you, when you can see no direction and no hope, that's when it's nothing but God in a Christian's life. When we can go through the storms and stand it, it is no longer God's blessing. It is God's character building in your life. Does that make sense? When you work hard and you are blessed, that's God's blessing. You reap what you sow. But when you go through the storm and you come out stronger, that's not just God's blessing. That's God's character building for a believer. And that's so important for us to know. It is no secret that it is the will of God not only to bless us, but to build us. Would you agree with that? It is not God's will just to bless and give you an easy life. It is God's will to build you up, to be a stronger force for the Lord. 1 Peter 5:10. If you want to turn there, you can. Just read. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus in our salvation, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You can jot down the verse, all right? In 1 Peter 5:10, I read again, the God of all grace who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, after you have gone through the storms a while, make you perfect, mature you, establish you, strengthen you, settle you. That's our God. Christians understand this. When you go through the trials in your life, God has a plan to establish us firmly. For this new year, let me give you 5 principles in every situation you go through to apply, that God can make you a conquering Christian and an overcoming Christian. And I believe with all my heart, if you just let God take charge with his principles in your life, God is able to help us. Number one, look at verse 24. All right, I'll try to craft it in a systematic way so that we can actually see. Number one, in verse 24, first principle, remember, God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a purpose. God has a purpose. I know I'm saying the obvious, but many Christians forget that God has a purpose in our life. We forget when we go through the trials, we throw out God's plan. We throw out the fact that God is still in charge, and we want to take charge. In verse 24, notice what Paul says, saying, fear not, in the book of Acts 27, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Now, God has a purpose. Where was Paul going? He was going to Rome because he appealed to Caesar. Do you know why? The reason why Paul was in the ship, because he was going to be brought before Caesar, in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, listen to the scriptures. This happened 16 chapters before. At the calling of Paul, this was what happened. The Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings. Paul's role in his life is to bear God's name before Caesar. One of the roles, one of the things he is to do is to appeal. See, he's going there. And God says, you'll be going there. And that's why Paul knows that storms may be around, I'm controlled by one overruling principle. God has a purpose for me. And I'm supposed to go to Rome. It is so important for us as believers to know that God has a purpose for every one of his children. Christians, if you are going through life not knowing what the will of God is in your life, you need to start to seriously search. Can I say this? With the authority of God's word, God didn't save us to live our own life. He did not save us so that we can go on the daily things of life. Yes, we need to fulfill the duties in life, but what is God's will for you in your life? Many Christians get disorientated in life because they do not get the compass that comes from God. We get the compass that comes from the world. How we need to live our life, how we need to grow our careers, nothing wrong with that. We all need to fulfill the jobs, the careers that God will give to us. But you know what? If that's all your life, you need to find, you know, ask God, God, what is the ministry you've given to me? Paul was very clear. He's going to Rome. His ministry was to testify to Caesar the good news of Jesus Christ. Did you know that Paul later on, maybe, I don't want to jump to the end, but remember that God has a purpose, okay? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 39, verse 20. I love this. I preached this in a youth camp many years ago, and as I was studying it, God just pointed my eyes to a particular word, which is very interesting. In Genesis 39, which is the beginning of the first book of the Bible, Genesis 39, remember, God has a purpose. And sometimes in the small nitty-gritties, we don't see the purpose. But when we see the purpose, we realize that God's in charge. Okay? Now, we know that, you know the story of Joseph, right? Joseph was sold into slavery by his 11 jealous brothers. Yes? He was sold into slavery. And guess what happened? He became the head of Potiphar's household. Okay? So because he was so hardworking, he was so diligent, he was so good with details and was so good with all his work, Potiphar, which was the captain of the guard, made him in charge of everything else except two things, okay? Potiphar and his wife. So guess what? Mrs. Potiphar, who obviously was very alone and lonely, wanted to blackmail him, okay? So wanted him to sleep with her. And he said, of course, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? But do you remember the story? You remember the story? Joseph, he's in charge of everything. And even if he had a fling with the wife, probably Mrs. Potiphar is not going to tell. And everything will be fine. But you know what? Joseph had character and said, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? Of course, he was blackmailed. He was sent to prison where he was forgotten. The thing that really touched my heart when I read God's word about, guess which prison was Joseph put in? Look at Genesis 39 verse 20. Now, first he was sold into slavery, into Egypt, and then he was thrown into prison, and guess where he was going into prison? Let's read together. Genesis 39, verse 20, 1, 2, go. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. It was a place where the king's prisoner was bound. Did you know why? Because the next step in God's plan for Joseph was to see the king of Egypt, and he has to be in the king's prison. It was for 2 years. All the people forgot, the one that he helped, the butler, forgot about him for 2 years. Remember the butler and the baker, for those who don't know the story? There were two prisoners who came in. The king wasn't happy with these two. They were offended the king. So they had a dream, and Joseph interpreted both their dreams. The baker was going to be executed, but the butler was going back to serve the king. All right? And so as the butler goes back, Joseph said, can you please tell the king I have been wrongly accused and put in this prison? And the butler said, no problem, man. Thank you for helping me. I'll remember. And guess what? He only remembered it how many years later? 2 years later. Can you imagine what Joseph went through? Can you imagine what Joseph went through? I helped this guy interpret his dream. And yeah, great. You know, he forgot me for 2 years. That wasn't the heart of Joseph. Joseph knew that God had a plan because he was in the king's prison. You know, Joseph didn't know then. Would you agree with me? Joseph did not know it was God's plan. But you know why God put it in the Bible for us? To tell us as Christians, my child, I know why you are where you are because I put you there. Would you have the faith to say, God, if you're that good, I can trust you. Number one, remember God has a purpose. Number two, be assured of God's presence. Verse 23. Verse 23. In Acts chapter 27, verse 23, be assured of God's presence. You know, as Paul stood by the by the commanders and the people in the ship. He says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, or angel of God, whom I am, whose I am." It means I belong to Him, and whom I serve. Guess who's the angel of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am." What does that mean? I belong to Him. Who's the only one in the Bible that always says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you"? Our dear Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when the three Hebrew children, remember in the Old Testament, when they were in the fire, there was a fourth person in there, and even an ungodly king can see, and his was like the Son of God. In Daniel chapter 3, be assured of God's presence. Let me read a few verses and jot it down if you like. Isaiah 41 verse 10. "Fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee." That's what God says. Psalm 46 verse 11. "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." If you take note of Psalm 46 and verse 11, do you know what it means that the Lord of hosts is with us? God has many names in the Bible. Jehovah Shalom means what? God is our peace, okay? Jehovah Jireh, what does it mean? God is our provider. Okay? The Lord of hosts is Jehovah Sabaoth. You know what the verse means? That is God's fighting name. That is God's name He takes when He goes against the enemies of His children. And the psalmist David said, "The Lord of hosts is with us. He is going to stand and fight for us." Remember Elisha and the servant in the Old Testament? I'll tell you the story quickly. The armies of Syria were coming against Israel. Elisha's servant looked everywhere, the soldiers, and he was shrieking and he was in fear. He ran in to Elisha and said, "Master, look, we're surrounded." Elisha prayed, "Lord, open my servant's eyes that he might see." And when God opened the eyes of this servant, Gehazi, I believe, the mountains of Israel was covered with the angels of God because He's the Lord of hosts. No one can touch the apple of God's eye without God doing something about it. Does that make sense? Would any of you fathers allow your children to be bullied that you will not stand for your child? The Lord of hosts is with us. You know what we can do? Be assured of God's presence. Satan is going to whack you from everywhere. You may be discouraged by the things of life, but God is always with us. Matthew 28:20, "I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." And let's turn back to Genesis 39 verse 21 again. You know when Joseph, I shared with you just now, he was in the king's prisoners. He was thrown into the king's prison. I just want to read in Genesis 39 verse 20. Just now we read, now it's 21. And guess what happened? "But the Lord was with Joseph." The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Did you know that when you feel the most anguish feeling in your heart, and when you said, "Lord, I didn't do anything wrong. Why am I thrown into this situation?" Many Christians say, "I didn't do anything. It's not my fault." As a Christian, we can say, "God, you're not fair." God's always just. Don't ever come to a place this year of ever accusing God that He's unfair. God is never unfair. He knows exactly. He knows the right and wrong. He knows exactly what needs to be done. And when He plans something, He knows exactly what is the correct permutation, what is the correct equation, and exactly the answer. Okay? Joseph, the Bible never said, but Joseph could have complained, "God is not fair. I didn't do anything wrong. In fact, I stood for truth." Right? How can I sin against God? And yet he was thrown into prison for that. How many of you sometimes feel like that? Maybe at workplace, you feel that you should be promoted or because of your hard work. You know, we need to be calm even to know that God is still with us when we are not given a good deal. We need to be calm to know that God is still with us. Because the Bible says, I don't know about you, I'd rather be accused by someone wrongly than not having God with me. Wouldn't you? I'd rather be accused wrongly by someone and know that God is still with me. Because Joseph had the presence of God with him. And you know what? God's not just in the palace. God's also in the prison with his own children. You know, the darkest moments of your life, God's still there. Remember in Acts chapter 27, we saw that there was no sun, no moon, but God was still with Paul. When there was no direction, God is the direction. Amen? He is the one we go for direction. Number one, remember God has a purpose. Number two, be assured of God's presence. But number three, claim God's promises. Verse 22 to 24. I'll read the whole passage. Paul, in verse 21, began to say, listen, guys, you should have listened to me. I told you not to leave the port, but in verse 22, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. That was a promise of God, wasn't it? That's a promise of God. Paul, you don't have to worry. You're going to Rome. Nothing is going to stop your journey to Rome. The ship can tear away. People can go against you. People can insult you. People can even don't listen to you. Paul, you're going to Rome. And that's where you'll be. You know what you need to do? God, if I'm going to be Rome, why is all these things happening? Paul, you know what God is telling us? Don't worry about what's happening around you. You hold on to my promise. You hold on to my promise. As Christians, we are oftentimes distracted from God's direction by the things around us. Agree? God wants us to say, trust me, not your situations. Trust me, not your situations. The word specifically spoken to Paul for his situation, when he was faced with a situation, because when Paul was going through there, the angel of the Lord spoke to Paul, you are going to Rome. That's the assurance of the promise. This is an interesting principle in the Bible. I want us to listen to this. There are two Greek words in the Bible for the word of God. Logos and Rhema. Logos and Rhema. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That's in John chapter 1 and verse 1. The Greek word is logos. The word logos is the comprehensive word for the fact that Jesus Christ is the word of God. He's the whole counsel of God. Does that make sense? Okay? But the second word is the word Rhema, which is a specific command to your life at the time of your situation. The word Rhema was used when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4. Remember, Satan says, well, if you are the Son of God, then command these stones to be made bread. What did Jesus say? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In other words, Jesus is saying, in this situation, Satan, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to what God tells me. And God tells me, I'm not going to live by your food. I'm going to live by your word in this situation for me. Okay? In other words, let me just give you an example. Biblically, as a young believer, after you become a Christian, we know that the Bible is the word of God. Yes? Yes? Okay? But specifically to us, God's instruction is to believe and be baptized, every one of you. So it's a specific command to every young believer. Would you agree with that? Because that is what God says. Believe and be baptized, every one of you. That is actually a Rhema, specific command to your situation right now. That's God's will for you right now. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's a Rhema for every child here. Because if you're a child, that's God's specific instruction for you. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6 verse 1. Does it make sense? That's God's specific instruction to you. Paul had a specific instruction. Paul, don't worry, you're going. God doesn't speak to us like that today anymore. God doesn't tell you, oh, I'm alone, you need to go there. God can move in our hearts, engineer situations, but we must be very careful when we in our own mind conjure up thought, I think God wants me to go to this because of this and this. We need to be very careful. That's mysticism. But when it is based on God's specific word, you can be quite clear, it's God who calls you. Okay? One of the things, may I give you an example of how it worked in my life. When I was called, when I believe God called me to the ministry, there was a situation whereby in the morning, I was discussing with a friend. My friend was encouraging me to not go full-time and all that kind of thing. And I already surrendered many years ago, but it's just God working in my heart again. And so I still remember, I think it was 1991, I was in Australia, and this friend, we went to church together, his name is Chris, and he was telling me, no, you know, Singapore need a lot of therapists and all that kind of thing. And in my heart, yeah, I was kind of deciding between the two. Then in Luke chapter 9, verse 60, the thinking that was given to me was, Singapore needs a lot of therapists, therefore you should be, you know, contributing to this force to help the aging population and all that. Interestingly, do you know what verse God gave me that morning in the service, Luke 9:60? Let the dead bury the dead, but go down and preach the word of God. Go let the dead bury the dead. And the pastor said, I still remember, the world has their doctors, the world have their engineers, but there's not enough preachers. That was when I knew God was speaking directly to me. Does that make sense? It wasn't something conjured. I've had this discussion. God speaks very clearly through His Word. It's as if, Johnny, let the dead bury the dead. Go down and preach the Word. That's when I surrendered, yes, Lord. That's why you cannot move me from my calling. God specifically spoke to me. Through His Word. That's how it works. Not through what we think. And come up with some situation you can't. Unless you have a testimony of God's calling specifically, we need to claim God's promise. Anything that happens in the ministry, you know what I do? God, you call me. You're going to get me out. Because that's God's promise to me. It is important for us to understand this. To us who have unforgiveness in our hearts, for example, you know what God says? Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. That's a rhema for you. Specific instruction from God. Christians, we cannot get away from this. Many Christians read the Word of God as a whole, but understand that sometimes God will open your heart to specific verses, and you know that God is speaking to you. That's when you need to obey and say, yes, Lord, I'll obey you, and I'll claim that promise for myself. Some of you may go through the distress of life, and God says, the Lord is my shepherd. And you say, Lord, you are my shepherd as I go through this difficult time. You are the shepherd that's going to lead me. You're the shepherd that's going to guide me. You're the shepherd that's going to bring me. And you know what? If you just meditate, for those who are going through a distress in your life, study Psalm 23. You realize it's a wonderful psalm. If you just study and let God and claim God's promise, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack any good thing. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You realize in the streams of Israel, many of the waters are quick flowing. And for a sheep that may lose its balance, it may hurt himself. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Every time we think of green pastures, we think of whole fields, right? Like Singapore, whole field, football field of grass. No, in Israel it's dry. Only the shepherd knows where to find the food. And that's where the shepherd will bring them to the specific area. God is able to bring us to the place that we need the nourishment. You know, as you meditate on that, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. God, thank you that I go through my distress. I'm not going to be afraid because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, what does a rod? Thy rod and thy staff, it's the same thing for the shepherd. The rod guides the shepherd. The rod guides the shepherd, protects the sheep as well. The shepherd fights with the rod to protect the sheep. Does that make sense? And say, God, your rod, you're going to protect me. Your staff, you're going to guide me as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, that's for me. No, Christians, we need to come to a place whereby, which is point number four, we need to use faith. In other words, don't just read the Bible and don't just meditate upon it. Say, that's for me. That's for me, Lord. That's for me. You know, as I hear the songs on Watch Night, it wasn't that God leadeth the world, God leads me. It wasn't that God makes no mistake for the world, God makes no mistake in my life. And I know it. And I trust Him. And that's why I grow up stronger. Does that make sense? Some of you read the Bible. We need to use faith. We need to believe that that one is for me. In verse 25, notice what Paul says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, because I believe God." That was Paul's own testimony. The angel stood with me. The angels told me I'll be in Rome. And good sirs, be joyful. This is what God says. That's God's purpose for me. Because I believe God. I know what God says. And I choose to believe in that. I used this illustration before. Maybe Uncle Roland invites me to his place for dinner, I just say, yes, I'm coming. I just turn out at his place at the time that he told me. Why? Simply because he doesn't have to write a contract. He said, "Brother Johnny, you come into my place at 7 a.m. Right? I'll email you my agreement. Okay? Make sure you sign. Everything is in black and white. You need to email me first before I prepare the dinner. Is that okay? Do we have to do that? No. Okay, on the 19th of... Okay, this one is wrong. Okay, not 19th. It could be that we have an appointment at 8th of May for an outing, whatever. We don't have to send out agreement to everyone, right? Please sign and ensure that you and you're coming. No need. You just believe it. 8th of May, at the particular place, you turn up. It's there. Why? It's just a word. Because you put faith in that. On 24th of December, I think many people are maybe busy. You know what? I thought it was going to be only five of us. You know, it turned out more than 20, 30 people came. Because they just believed that 24th December, we're going to have something here, and we turn up. Does God really... By the way, God gave us in black and white. Literally. Some of you may have read also. But God gave us in black and white. And God doesn't change. Amen? That's why we need to use faith. See, the times that we feel stress and distress is actually not on God's side. It's always on our side. And that's where we need to learn. Our God is with us. His word can be trusted. Therefore, I will use faith. You know, with everything that happens this year, as I look at God's word, and you may go through a hard time with a colleague, you may be having a stressful time with your exams and all that, you're going to say, "Lord, you're my shepherd. You're going to take care of me. And just be at peace because I'm going to use faith. I'm going to trust you in every situation." The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you're sitting in church, but leave and do your own stuff, you have not put faith in anything. I say again, if you come to church, hear the word of God, and go straight back to your old life, you haven't used faith for anything. Did you know that? It's just like, you know, how many of you have done this before and you feel very heartbroken? When you buy a gift for someone, or maybe you buy a present, maybe as parents you buy a present, and they say, "Oh, thank you for it." The child takes a gift and puts it aside and just carries on. He doesn't make use of the thing. And soon he becomes a white elephant. We don't know. I think I shared with you, you know, the Tupperware tumbler I shared with you before. I thought it was a white elephant. Until I put faith in the white tumbler, blue tumbler. It's somewhere in my house, don't worry. See, that's how we lost faith a bit. No. That's what it means. And I'm quite sure that many Christians lose faith because they didn't use faith. In therapy, one principle in therapy is you don't use it, you lose it. No need therapy, even in normal. Some of us may have six-pack when we are 25. But when we are 50, we only have one-pack. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. That's the same with faith. You know, this year in everything you do, say, "Lord, as you search God's word, use faith." Faith is when you believe in something that you cannot see. To the point that even in the midst of overwhelming odds, unbelief will say it is not possible. Faith will say with God, all things are possible. That's faith. And God wants us to live above the norm this year. Faith for my deliverance. There's one man of God said, "Faith for my deliverance is not faith in God. Faith means whether I'm visibly delivered or not, I will still stick to my belief that God is love. That there are some things that I can only learn in the fiery furnace. That even if God doesn't deliver me, I will still stick to my belief in my God. Does that make sense? Do you know how personal that is? In other words, anything can happen to my wife, my children. Or maybe they kind of, I didn't see them, but I'm always assured of one thing. I always love them and they will always love me. Does that make sense? Because it's our relationship with God. You can trust a person, you cannot sometimes trust situations. Would you agree with me? And sometimes we lose faith because we are putting faith in situations, not in a person. And our level of faith on God depends on how much we know of God's word. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? Point number four, we need to use faith. And finally, verse 27 in Acts 27. As we remember God has a purpose, be assured of His presence, claim God's promises, use faith. Point number five, in verse 27, we need to exercise patience. Exercise patience. After what Paul has told them, in verse 26, wherefore, sirs, verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it is told me. Verse 26, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. What does that mean? As Paul was sailing, Paul says, please don't go, the weather is going to be bad. The master of the ship says, sorry, Paul, not listen to you. They went, they hit a they hit some distresses, they hit a hurricane. Paul still says, we're still going to Rome. But you know what? Because of the wrong decision, we need to go to another island first. We need to exercise patience. Sometimes in our decision-making, we may have gone the wrong road. Or maybe in God's providence, God has allowed certain things to happen. We need to exercise patience with God. Not that God is late. Not that God is never late, amen? He's never late. He knows exactly when and what. It's that God wants us to learn to trust His almighty hand. In all things that He does, it is in the counsel of His good will for our good. And God has our good in His heart. After hearing that by Paul, guess what? Okay, guys. Sorry, guys. I should have listened to Paul in the first place. So the captain and the commander all listened to Paul. And did you know that in Acts 28, they all landed in Melita? And finally, God was able to fulfill His plan. Did you know that Paul, when he went to Rome, he even converted the Roman soldiers who took care of him? You know, Paul was there, and he was not like any other prisoner. They allowed him free rein. And he was kind of under house arrest. He was not supposed to go anywhere. But people were allowed to visit him. And you know what? He even converted the Roman guards that were taking care of him. They of Caesar's household greet thee. Book of Romans. They of Caesar's household greet thee. Guess what? People even in the king's palace trusted Christ because of Paul. You just can't run away from Paul, can you? You know, in 1818 in France, there was this boy, his name is Louis. Not Genghis' brother, I know it's straight away, his mouth. Okay, there was a boy by the name of Louis. At the age of 9, the boy was sitting in his father's workshop, and the father was a harness maker, right? A harness maker. And the boy loved to watch his father at work. He said, Louis told, someday I'm going to be a harness maker just like you, Dad. And why not start now? And so the father took a piece of leather, and then he took drew a design on it and said, come on, son, let's take the hole puncher and a hammer and let's do it. And of course, the dad, but be careful not to hit your hand. And so Louis actually excitedly took the leather and he was pounding. Unfortunately, as he pounded, one time it slipped out of his hand. The sharp object went into his eyes and it blinded one of his eyes. Later, unfortunately, the sight in the other eye also failed without any reason why it just failed. Now, Louis was totally blind. Many years later, Louis was sitting in the family garden when a friend handed him a pine cone. As he ran his fingers around it, an idea came to him. He became enthusiastic and began to create a whole alphabet based on touch. And that's when the Louis Braille system came out. And it was all because of an accident. God can do anything. I do not know whether the son complained to the father or had a bitter spirit, but our God is so good. He is so powerful that he can take men's mistakes and turn out something beautiful from it. Amen? That's our God. Would you believe him this year? That's our word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you as we prepare our hearts to face this year. And I pray, Lord, this word of God will help us in whatever situation. I don't know, Lord, but you do. Sometimes humanly impossible, but Lord, we've got nothing is impossible. And Father, from the beginning of this year, we want to trust that. Because it's written in your word. It's black and white. And Father, for myself and for many of us as believers here, I pray that we will use faith on your word this year. Father, thank you. As Paul went through the voyage in the storm, he had such calm assurance simply because you were with him. You encouraged him by your promises. But Paul also responded by faith. He claimed your promise and he used patience because he knew because the ship was broken, they had to land on an island called Melita before they went on to Rome. Heavenly Father, we may have made mistakes in our life, but we know that a loving God like you can turn even our mistakes into your glorious plan. And when we look back, we can say, praise you, Lord, because it's none of us, it's all God. Your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. As you face 2016, is there someone who says, Pastor, just pray for me, that God will help me use faith this year. Is there someone like that? Amen, I see that hand. Anyone else? Amen, I see those hands. Some of you, just pray up, pray down, and pray. Pray in your hearts. God will help you. Is there someone like that? Lord, I'll use faith. I'll believe in what you have for me based on your word. Is there someone else? Amen, I see that hand. Amen, I see that hand. Is there someone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Amen, all over, moms, dads, young people. Is there someone else? Let's pray. Father, I just pray for the brethren who has put up their hands. Oh God, we thank you that you promise us we will reap what you sow as we work hard. Your blessings will come. But Father, when we face the storms, help us to realize your blessings want also to be building for us. Help us to be very clear in our hearts that this year we will remain strong with Christ. This year we will remain firm with your word. This year we will claim by faith the promises you gave to us. That Lord, as we read your word and you speak to us specifically about our situation, the Lord, we will obey your word as you said it to us. Heavenly Father, we know from your word all you have is good for us. And the blessings we receive and the character building situations we receive are all given to us that we might draw close to you. I pray as a church we will grow strong. We will face any challenge, Lord, trusting your word, trusting your plan. And Father, we will stick with always the basic principles of love and truth, honesty, openness. Lord, not allowing sin in our lives. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will guide us as we sing the song, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. I pray that your Holy Spirit will burn the decision we have made in our lives. That, Lord, we will encourage one another to do the right thing for you. Thank you for what you're going to do. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.